AI PCs built for business with Intel Core Ultra processors and Intel vPro are optimized for hundreds of AI apps and tools to boost user productivity, collaboration, and creativity. No product can be absolutely secure. Learn more at intel.com/ITheroes.
The January 6th committee refers former President Donald Trump to the Justice Department for potential criminal charges. But what power do such referrals have?
They do sort of carry symbolic weight. They do raise the public's awareness about certain issues that might rise to the level of criminal conduct. And then that creates sort of public pressure and questions on the Justice Department about what they're doing in this investigation.
And Epic Games reached a record settlement with the FTC. Plus, Elon Musk's Twitter poll shows most users want him out. So what happens now? It's Monday, December 19th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. The House panel investigating the January 6th, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol has voted by unanimous consent to refer four criminal charges against former President Donald Trump to the U.S. Justice Department. The criminal referrals include obstruction of an official proceeding, conspiracy to defraud the U.S., conspiracy to make false statements, and incitement of an insurrection. Here's Maryland Representative Jamie Raskin speaking just before the vote at the panel's 10th and final meeting of the year, concluding its 18-month investigation.
We understand the gravity of each and every referral we are making today, just as we understand the magnitude of the crime against democracy that we describe in our report. But we have gone where the facts and the law lead us, and inescapably, they lead us here.
The committee also made a criminal referral of John Eastman, a constitutional lawyer acting as Trump's attorney ahead of January 6th for obstruction of an official proceeding. An attorney representing Eastman criticized the committee in a statement calling it absurdly partisan and designed to benefit Democrats. Trump has repeatedly said he did nothing wrong and has called the January 6th committee a partisan witch hunt. The panel also referred four House Republicans, including Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, to the House Ethics Committee over failure to comply with subpoenas. A representative for McCarthy did not immediately respond to a request for comment. And the committee also released an executive summary of its final report, which will be released in full on Wednesday. Our investigative reporter, Scott Patterson, says it provides the panel's rationale.
The reasoning behind these referrals kind of goes over all of the things that the committee presented to the public over the course of the hearings this year through the testimony of people, mainly senior Republican officials in state governments and Mr. Trump's own administration. They showed that the former president was told repeatedly by many people in his government and campaign that he had, in fact, lost the election and still continued to spread the false claim that he'd actually won and that it was stolen. And that by making all of these statements in public, he summoned a mob of his supporters to Washington, D.C. on January 6, 2021, gave a speech before them at the Ellipse outside the White House, and effectively incited them to march to the Capitol and attack the Capitol.
We'll talk more about the referrals and what could happen next in just a few minutes. The Supreme Court has temporarily blocked the Biden administration from ending a Trump-era border policy known as Title 42. The ruling maintains the status quo while the court considers an emergency request from Republican states to keep it in place. The policy, which allowed for migrants entering the U.S. to be expelled back to Mexico after crossing the border illegally, was set to expire on Wednesday. As we reported last week, some border cities, including El Paso, have seen a surge in migrant crossings ahead of the expected ending of Title 42. The company behind popular video game Fortnite has agreed to pay $520 million to resolve two civil complaints filed by the Federal Trade Commission. One alleges that Epic Games violated the Federal Children's Online Privacy Protection Act by collecting information from players under the age of 13 without notifying their parents. The FTC said Epic put those users at risk by connecting them with strangers, and that some children were bullied, threatened, and harassed as a result. The second complaint alleged that Epic trapped consumers into paying for digital goods and made it hard to cancel payments. The gaming company didn't admit or deny the FTC's allegations as part of what the agency said were record settlements. there's new uncertainty around Twitter after a majority of users polled said new owner Elon Musk should step down as chief of the company. Musk launched the poll yesterday and said he would abide by the results. The platform's been mired in controversy since his takeover 7 weeks ago, and it's unclear who would succeed him. Most of the company's prior leadership was either fired or left after he closed a $44 billion deal to take over the company. A new study shows gun injuries among U.S. children have risen sharply in recent years. The analysis, published today in the journal JAMA Pediatrics, shows that more than 2,700 minors were treated at hospitals for such injuries between April 2020 and December 2021. That's up more than 50% from the same period in 2018 and 2019. Guns are the leading cause of death in children and adolescents, according to a co-author of the study, who also said the analysis is a representative snapshot of injuries, not a complete picture. And the actress Amber Heard says she'll settle a defamation dispute with her ex-husband Johnny Depp. His attorneys say Heard has agreed to pay $1 million, far less than the roughly $8 million in total damages she owed. In June, a Virginia jury had found largely in favor of Depp after a high-profile trial over defamation and abuse allegations between the former couple. Coming up, the January 6th committee refers criminal charges against former President Donald Trump to the Justice Department. What happens next? Some answers after the break.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
The House panel investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol has concluded its work by referring criminal charges against former President Donald Trump to the Justice Department. It's a significant step, and it's the first time such recommendations have been made against a former U.S. president. But what power do such referrals have, and what might the Justice Department do next? Joining me now with some answers is our DOJ reporter, Aruna Viswanatha. Hi, Aruna. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Aruna, Congress does not have the power to bring charges or initiate a criminal investigation. So what weight does a criminal referral from Congress carry, generally speaking?
So in terms of legal weight, the answer is not really anything, but they do sort of carry symbolic weight. They do raise the public's awareness about certain issues that might rise to the level of criminal conduct. And then that creates sort of public pressure and questions on the Justice Department about what they're doing in this investigation. And then it gives Congress the ability to get an answer on what happened with this investigation, because they have to get the Justice Department to provide a response on what they ultimately did with that referral.
So to follow up there, how seriously does the DOJ take referrals from Congress?
They tend to already be investigating things by the time Congress gets around to referring them. In the case of the January 6th investigation, clearly there's been a massive criminal investigation underway for almost 2 years now. But they definitely do look at all these referrals, take them seriously. If there's any new evidence contained in these referrals that they don't know about, then that's clearly something they're going to be very interested in. And then if there are any specific referrals where lawmakers think that a witness may have lied to them, that's going to be something potentially new for prosecutors to examine.
Aruna, Attorney General Merrick Garland has appointed a special prosecutor, Jack Smith, to conduct a separate investigation into January 6th. What can you tell us about that investigation, and how might the congressional referrals impact it?
So within the past few weeks, Attorney General Merrick Garland did decide, right after former President Trump announced that he's running for re-election, Attorney General Merrick Garland did appoint this new special counsel to take over not only the January 6th investigation as it relates to the former president and his inner circle, but also the presence of classified documents down at Mar-a-Lago. And in recent weeks, they've also sent out subpoenas for a lot of the information that the committee already had. And so they're definitely running in parallel, but I think you're going to see them sort of pick up the baton as this congressional committee finishes up.
So what happens next now that Congress has made these referrals to the DOJ? Is there anything you can tell us about how this has worked in the past that might guide what we see here?
So I think for at least the next few months, you're going to see the Justice Department doing what it has been doing, which is conducting this investigation largely out of public view in front of the grand jury, sending subpoenas out, talking to witnesses behind closed doors. But you will at some point then see a response coming from the Justice Department to lawmakers and to Congress about what determination it's made on these referrals. So if you think back to a year ago when the same committee sent over some referrals about people that were resisting complying with their subpoenas, the Justice Department examined all four of them, decided to bring two criminal cases, and then told the committee that it didn't think it had enough to bring charges in two others, and it sent those notifications. And so I think we might see something similar here, where they will bring the cases that they think are warranted, potentially related to these referrals, and then will affirmatively tell Congress, we don't think we're going to do something here in cases they decide to turn down.
Aruna, tell us more about those two referrals that the DOJ did act on.
Right. So as the committee was conducting its investigation, it sent out a lot of subpoenas. A lot of people did comply with them. Some former senior Trump aides did not, or complied to various degrees. The committee referred four people for potential prosecution. The Justice Department ultimately decided two of them were warranted. They prosecuted Steve Bannon, who went to trial earlier this year and was convicted. He's now appealing that. And they also decided to prosecute Peter Navarro, who is going to trial early next year.
That's Wall Street Journal Justice Department reporter Aruna Viswanatha. Aruna, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
And finally, there was a time when having a wine cellar in your home put you on par with the elite. Nowadays, the well-heeled are adding amenities like cherry-paneled whiskey lounges with cigars and tequila tasting rooms. According to the publisher of Wine Enthusiast magazine, interest in whiskey and tequila were already rising. The pandemic accelerated that trend. But our luxury real estate reporter Candace Taylor says the desire for these alcoholic alcoves is about more than just drinking.
For a lot of folks, also, it's about collecting. Part of the enjoyment of having the collection is being able to see it displayed beautifully in their homes. Tequila, in particular, the bottles are beautiful art. You have some that are shaped like skeletons. You have some that are shaped like cowboy boots. They're all very brightly colored in different materials, glass and ceramic. And people who collect tequila, many of them are collecting not just the spirit, but the bottles themselves.
Candace says these owners of high-end homes are also using the spaces to entertain guests and build relationships. And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost-effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.